evening. Welcome to Wednesday night worship. We're going to start off by just welcoming the ones around you. So if you welcome the ones. Are there any prayer requests this evening? Are there any prayer requests this evening?
My friend from my childhood, her mother has surgery tomorrow. And she I told her on Sunday, she broke her feet a month ago, and then while they were making x-ray, they found that there's cancer all over her body. I don't know what kind of surgery they're going to be doing, but she has to pray. Her name is Emma.
Larry got a phone call today sometime, and there are really no more details than what I'm giving, but there is a baby boy delivered today, and he is 8 weeks early. So somebody just called the church asking for prayer, I guess. That's kind of all we know. So, Michael? Are there any others? No.
There's a girl from my new school who I've known her for like 3 or 4 years. Her name is Brittany Pittman. She went to like 24-hour surgery for cancer. She's doing pretty well.
Anybody else? Mrs. Tucker? Okay. Matthew? Having a middle school lock-in this week, so prayer for that. And there's a lot of people coming. Everybody's really excited, so prayer for safety and good ministry. Matthew? Matt? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yes. I think he might come home tomorrow, I think. So let's keep Becky in our prayers too, because she's kind of running between the hospital and church, cooking for us on Wednesday night, and then went to go visit Bob and then Charlie. And so let's just keep Becky in our prayers too. Today I said, well, what can we do for you? And she said, just let me keep on working. Don't make me go home. And because her sister also just went to the doctor, and she's on the verge of having a heart attack. So she's got a lot on her plate, and she's still helping us out with cooking. So. Prayer for everybody, because Dylan, who just left, just got his driver's license. Are there any announcements? I know I have one. The Youth Evangelism Conference, the early bird money, I need it today or tomorrow. It's $95. You can make the check out to YEC. And there's papers on the back couch. There's all the forms you need for them. If you're interested, take that. And I at least need your name and money by Thursday. Mr. Rippey? Others tonight. Let's keep Paul in our minds tonight as he's preparing to speak. I don't know about him, but I always get real nervous, so let's just calm him down. And he's got a good message, so let's just give him some confidence here. Shabbat. He is sitting by your girlfriend. Okay, bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the chance to come here and fellowship and to laugh and to eat and to learn more about your son, Jesus. God, I pray that you be with all of our prayer requests, spoken and unspoken. I pray that you guide Paul through these next minutes and that you give him the words that you want spoken. God, I also pray that you open our hearts and minds to worship you the best way that we can. God, be with the worship band as they help us worship tonight. All these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Let's stand down.
Thank you.
all the darkness that we have inside us and make your light shine through us. And all who are thirsty, all those who are seeking your face could see your light shining through us. Let your word be powerful in our life, in our daily walking with you. the things and sicknesses from unbelief. Jesus said, if we have faith timely and at the same time as you, then we can move the mountains. So many times I'm thinking, Lord, if I cannot move the mountains, does this mean that I don't have faith at all? Just think about this word. What did he mean?
Excited to be up here tonight. I'm going to start with prayer before I go into what I'm saying here. And also, she's not going to like this, but I just also like if you pray tonight for Katie. She just needs some comfort. So just keep her in your prayers tonight, and please pray with me. Father, we just come before you tonight, God, just thanking you for so much. Thank you for music and for your blessings upon us, Lord. We thank you for the fact that we're here tonight and we can worship you, Lord, and we can learn about you, and that you've called us to be here, Lord. Father, we just ask that your Spirit come into our lives and come into our lives right now, God, and may we all grow from what you'll have us learn. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so last couple of weeks we've been talking about Jesus, and we've been running through the life of Jesus and just learning a lot about him. Last week we talked about, Brother Larry talked about Jesus' preeminence, or I think is how he put it, Jesus was before he was. Tonight we're going to talk about Jesus' authority and what exactly that is and how he has it. So we're going to start out, I'm going to start out by looking at the Gospels and what they say and what we know. We know that by age 30, Jesus had begun his ministry and began preaching a message of love and a message that can really be summed up by John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. This salvation that Jesus talked about throughout the Gospels, he talked about it, and he talked about it through God's one and only Son, and he talked about that being through him. He called himself God's one and only Son, and that the salvation was available through him. And he did it a lot of different ways, and one of the ways I chose to talk about tonight and just read it tonight is from John chapter 7 verses 37 and 38, and it kind of goes really good with that song actually, the last one we sang. It says, on the last day of the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." First of all, it's just amazing how you make a message and, you know, you don't know anything about the service, and then how God just kind of pulls all that together. I just get amazed at that every time I come to church, every time I'm around a worship service. But Jesus was saying that through Him is salvation, and through Him is the way to eternal life. And He spoke this for everybody. This is His gift to the world for all to see. But at Jesus' time, not all people agreed with Him. The Pharisees and other religious leaders at the time were outraged that Jesus would say things like this, that say He's the Son of God, and that He'd preach forgiveness of sins. They're outraged because they viewed Him as defying God's law. They were caught up in the rituals and caught up with really with themselves. They saw Jesus as having no authority to be able to preach what He was preaching about, and no authority to do what He was doing, which was going around healing people, preaching the good news, and comforting those who were in need. They were constantly questioning Him, asking Him to do miracles. I think it's the 15th chapter of Matthew. They ask Him to perform a miraculous act to prove that he is who He says He is. And that happens several more times. As I was doing my research for this, I noticed that. And I noticed how they just kept demanding, you know, Jesus, why don't you show us this? Why don't you prove by miraculous act? And Jesus just countered them by saying, you're not right on the inside. I can do it however many miraculous acts I want, but until you get it right on the inside, you're never going to believe me. They always tried to tell Jesus that Jesus and His disciples were breaking the law. There's one story in the Bible where it talks about Jesus' disciples picking wheat, I think, on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees said, you know, what are they doing? They can't do that. It's the Sabbath. And Jesus said, you know, you're getting caught up in the ritual again. You know, so they were just had it all wrong. Jesus quotes Isaiah in Matthew 15 saying, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. But as you read the Gospels, you also get the other side of that. And you look at all the people that Jesus was talking to and affecting, who He was touching and healing. And you get the picture that these regular people, people like you and me, they understood that Jesus came with a message, and they understood the truth behind His message and the truth that Jesus was who He claimed to be. For example, if you look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, just before I read this, I'm just going to say this is right after Jesus gets done preaching the Sermon on the Mount. The scriptures say, when Jesus had finished saying these things, and that's the Sermon on the Mount, the crowds were amazed at His teaching, because He taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. And then again in Mark chapter 1, Jesus heals a man possessed by a demon, and people see Jesus' authority. Verse 27 says, amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what had happened. What sort of new teaching is this? They asked excitedly. It has such authority. Even evil spirits obey His orders. So the people instantly recognize that something's different about this man. You know, his message is true. Who he is true. They recognize that he had authority. The demons and the evil spirits recognize that Jesus' authority. In that verse, it says that the demons left the man when Jesus commanded it. So they knew, the demons and spirits knew who Jesus was and knew that he had authority. And I really think that the Pharisees even knew that too. And that's really why they were always trying to prove him wrong. They felt threatened because Jesus was basically preaching against them. And Jesus had this authority for a reason. For example, teachers have authority over the classroom and that they're in charge of. And they have this authority for a reason. You know, they went to high school, they went to college, got a degree, they did student teaching, and they were hired for the purpose of teaching. So they had authority because they went through what they had to go through to get there. And Jesus also has authority for a reason. It's different from the teachers, but he has authority for a reason. And for the purpose of this message, I'm just going to go over two of the reasons why Jesus has authority. But I guarantee if you do much more research into this, you're going to find there's a lot. But the first one, the first reason why Jesus has authority is because the message he brought was not from him. It was from God, the Father. If you remember that quote or that scripture I used earlier in Matthew, let's see, it was Matthew 7:29. Actually, it was in Matthew 15, the quote of Isaiah where it says, "They worship me in vain, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God." That was the Pharisees, and Jesus contrasts this with the truth of his message, and saying that his message came straight from God. He wasn't changing it, he wasn't altering it, he was doing the exact will of God. John chapter 7, verses 16 through 18 say this: Jesus told them, "My message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me. Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or merely my own. Those who speak for themselves want glory only for themselves, but a person who seeks to honor the one who sent him speaks truth, not lies." And then he repeats the same thing again in John chapter 8, verse 28. He does it again in chapter 12, verse 49, and then again in chapter 14 and verse 10. He stresses the fact that this message is not from him, it's from God. And then I want to look more closely at John chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, because that kind of leads into my next reason behind Jesus having authority. The verses read, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because the work you have seen me do." Jesus holds authority not only because his message he brings is truthful and from God. He holds authority because he is God. He was fully man, but he's also fully God. And because of this, he holds authority. And God is the ultimate authority on everything. And some of my favorite verses in the Bible come from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. I'm going to read those now. "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him God created everything, in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." To me, I read that and I just say, you know, it didn't get much more authority than that right there, when it talks about just God being first in everything. The visible image of the invisible God. For through him God created everything. Through him. Everything was created through him and for him, there in verse 16. He existed before anything else. That's what Brother Larry talked about. He existed before everything. He's through everything. He's the beginning. He's the head of the church. He's supreme over all who rise from the dead. He's first in everything. Jesus has authority because he is God. And so, with that in mind, I just want to ask, you know, is Christ supreme in your life? Is he the authority by which you live? Is he the authority you look up to? Just leave tonight, and know that God's message is true, and that you have the message of God, and with those things armed, with those things, you can be sure and go out and be confident of yourself, and be confident of the fact that you bring a message that's straight from God, and a message that the world needs to hear. So please go and share that to others. Thank you.
We're going to enter into a time of meditative prayer, and we're just going to once again open up a chance for you to be active in prayer. Don't just sit back and listen to other people pray. Jump in, take action in your faith, and use this as an opportunity. I'll be up here. Larry's right there. Paul's right here. If you want to come up and pray, we'll pray with you, but we're just going to use this as an opportunity to think about the message, think about the authority Jesus had, and what that means for our lives. So I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then we'll just pray a little bit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for his life and what it means to us. God, we see that you gave Jesus authority. We pray that we can do everything we can to honor that. God, we're going to take these several few minutes and just meditate on you in our lives and the things that may be going on in our lives. God, we pray that you hear our voices. God, we thank you tonight for hearing our prayers. We thank you for Paul and his message. We thank you for the scriptures that we read to grow closer to you. God, continue to be with us during this last praise song. In Jesus' name, amen.